Pitch reduction on transition effects, advanced. Let's build the kind of pre-drop destruction that feels expensive and intentional, not like you accidentally ruined your mix. In drum and bass, pitch reduction is less about making it distorted and more about creating a controlled collapse of reality right before the drop. You're going to make the listener feel like the audio system is glitching, the sample rate is falling apart, everything is narrowing and choking, and then, on the downbeat, the track snaps back to full fidelity. That contrast is the whole point. We're going to do this with stock Ableton devices, smart routing, and a rack you can reuse forever. First, mindset and source material. Pitch reduction works best on audio the brain recognizes instantly, because then the destruction reads clearly. Great candidates are drum tops and break layers, riser noise, vocal chops, and that last bass tail before the drop. If you bit crush something already abstract, it just becomes noise. But if you crush a break or a vocal, the listener goes, "Oh wow, that thing is being shredded." Now let's set up the routing the pro way. Parallel. Create a return track. In Ableton, create. Insert return track. Name it return C. Bitcrush FX. The reason we go return is simple. You can send multiple elements into the same transition effect. You can automate one lane for tension, and most importantly, you can hard mute it at the drop without touching your main mix. On that return, we're going to build a device chain in a very specific order. This order matters more than people think, because redux is basically a clock problem. Downsampling forces the audio to update less often, and that creates aliasing and stepped edges. So what you filter before redux controls what gets mangled, and what you filter after redux controls what artifacts you keep. Think of it like choosing what you want the glitch to chew on. Device 1. Auto filter, before anything else. Set it to Lopez, 24 dB slope. Put the cutoff up around 18 kHz to start. Basically open. Add a touch of resonance, somewhere around 0.7 to 1.2. And if you're using drive on the filter, add maybe plus 2 to plus 6 dB. Teacher note, this is not just making it darker, it's anti-harshness insurance. Downsampling can create brittle fizz that sounds insane in headphones and painful on a loud system. Pre-filtering is how you keep it aggressive but not physically annoying. Device 2, redux. This is the main event. Start cleanish. Bits around 12 to 16. Downsample around 1.0 to 1.5. Turn DC on. DC is one of those unsexy switches that saves you from low-end offset weirdness and headroom problems later. Now device 3. Saturator after redux. Choose analog clip or soft sign. Drive it somewhere between plus 2 and plus 8 dB, and then pull the output down so you're not tricked by loudness. Turn soft clip on. Here's what's happening. Bit reduction can make the signal feel thinner or quieter, even when it's technically peaky. Saturation redensifies it so your transition feels like it's growing in mass, not just getting uglier. Device 4 is optional, but for DNB transitions it's ridiculous in a good way. Echo. Try time at 1/8 or 1/4. For extra tension, try dotted timing like 3/16 so it feels slightly unstable. Feedback around 20 to 45%. Filter the echo, high pass around 200 to 400 Hz so it doesn't drag your low end, and low pass around 6 to 10 kHz so the repeats don't become sharp glass. Add just a tiny bit of modulation, like 1 to 5%, so the tail moves. Device 5, utility at the end. This is your safety and your stereo strategy. Keep gain under control, and prepare to automate width. A huge pro move in clubs is collapsing the transition effects toward mono right before the drop. Mono feels heavier and more centered, and it avoids facey weirdness when the room sums the low end. Optionally, after utility, you can add a gentle limiter with a ceiling around minus 0.8 dB. Not to smash it, just to catch those random peaks that happen when aliasing and saturation collide. Cool. Now we're going to make this playable. Select all those devices on the return and group them into an audio effect rack. Command or Control G. Create a handful of macros. You can do 4, you can do 6. I'll give you the core set. Macro 1. Crush. Map redux bits and redux downsample. Set the ranges like a mix engineer, not like a chaos goblin. Bits should go from 16 down to about 4. Downsample should go from 1 up to maybe 8. And here is a key tip. Make downsample ramp more aggressively than bits. That sample rate collapsing vibe is what feels like a digital system breaking. Also, think in 3 zones on this one knob. From 0 to about 50%, you want movement that the audience feels but doesn't identify as bit crush. From 50 to about 85%, it's clearly degraded but still readable rhythmically. And from 85 to 100, that's your special moment. Last beat, last quarter note, the event. Constrain your macro ranges so you don't hit completely destroy too early. Macro 2. Low pass tension. Map auto filter cutoff from about 18k HC down to somewhere between 2.5 and 6k HE. Optionally map resonance up a little bit as the filter closes. That little resonance lift makes the closing feel more dramatic, like the audio is being squeezed. Macro 3. Dirt. Map saturator drive from plus 2 to plus 10 dB. If you want to be extra professional, map saturator output inversely, so the perceived loudness stays more consistent. Because level matching is how you make honest decisions. If it sounds better only because it got louder, you're not designing tension. You're just cheating. Macro 4. Echo throw. Map echo dry slash wet from 0 up to around 35%. Map feedback from maybe 15 to 55%. This gives you that end of phrase smear that's so DNB. Macro 5. Optional but powerful. Mono drop in. Map utility width from 100% down to 0 to 30%. Now you've got a transition weapon that's actually performable. Let's talk automation. Because this is where it becomes DNB and not just I added an effect. We'll start with the classic. Pre-drop degradation ramp over, say, 4 bars. The cleanest way is to automate the send amount feeding the return. Over the 4 bars before the drop, slowly raise the send from basically off up to something like minus 6 dB, depending on taste. At the same time, ramp crush up, ramp low pass tension down, so the filter is closing as the degradation increases. And in the last half bar, start collapsing width toward mono. Then, the most important move of the entire lesson. On the drop, instantly cut the send to minus infinity, or bypass the rack. Hard reset. No fade, no let it ring out. DNB love snap. The drop sounds bigger when the transition is gone instantly. If you want it to feel more designed, use automation shapes deliberately. Try an exponential rise on crush, slow at first, then it accelerates right at the end. Keep the filter cutoff closing more linearly, steady pressure. And for downsample, try step automation, quarter note jumps. That feels like hardware mode switching, like a sampler changing rates. It reads as digital in a way a smooth curve doesn't. Now a jungle style stutter fill in the last bar. Two options. Option 1 is gate before redux. Put gate in front of redux on the return chain. Set the threshold so only the stronger hits open it, maybe starting around minus 20 dB. Set return around 50 to 150 milliseconds, and set floor to minus infinity for a hard chop. Then your chopped audio gets crushed, and it sounds like a machine gun break being eaten by a broken sampler. Option 2 is auto pan is tremolo. Put auto pan before redux. Amount 100%. Rate at 1/8 or 1/16. Set phase to 0 degrees so it's volume chopping, not panning. Again, the key is, chop first, crush after, so the repeats and gaps become part of the artifact. Now the bass move, because this is where people mess up, to not crush the sub. If you redux your full range bass, your low end becomes unstable and your mix loses weight. So split it, make a bass group with two chains, a sub chain that's clean, low passed around 80 to 120 HC, no redux, and a mid-chain that's high-passed around 90 to 150 HE, and that's where you put redux and saturator. Automate crush on the mid-chain only in the last quarter note before the drop. You'll get that nasty digitized rip without sacrificing the chest hit. Quick arrangement blueprint you can steal. If your drop is at bar 17, then bars 9 to 12 is subtle foreshadowing. Maybe just occasional crushed echoes, like little hints. Bars 13 to 16 is the commit. Steady ramp, filter closing, more send, more crush. Then the last beat is the event. Go extreme, narrow to mono, maybe a little echo throw. And right before the downbeat, you can even cut the return to silence for the last eighth note. That micro silence makes the drop feel larger than it actually is. A few advanced upgrades if you want to go deeper. 1. Sidechained bit crush breathing. Put a compressor before redux on the return. Sidechain it from the kick or snare. Fast attack, medium release, like 80 to 180 milliseconds. Only 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction. Now the degradation pumps with the groove, so it feels glued, not pasted on top. 2. Two-stage redux for codec vibes. Put a mild redux first, then an EQ or filter, then a second redux where you mostly automate downsample. That EQ in the middle shapes what the second redux alias is, which makes the digital burn way more controllable. 3. Post-redux cleanup with notches. If you hear a painful whistle, don't just low-pass everything and lose that excitement. Put EQ8 after redux and hunt around 6 to 12k HC. When you find that piercing tone, dip it 3 to 6 dB with a medium Q. You keep the broken texture, but remove the one frequency that hurts. 4. Reverb after redux, but keep it tight. Short decay, maybe 0.4 to 1.2 seconds. High pass the reverb at 300 to 600 Hz so it doesn't bloat. And add a little predelay, like 20 to 60 milliseconds, so the downbeat transient stays clean while the crunchy halo sits behind it. Now, common mistakes to avoid, because these will sabotage the whole effect. Mistake 1. Crushing the sub. Don't bullet bands or chains. Mistake 2. Too much top-end hash. Fix it with pre-filtering, and if needed, post-EQ notches. Mistake 3. Bad gain staging. Bit crush plus saturation can spike randomly. Use utility to level match and a gentle limiter to catch peaks. Mistake 4. Leaving the effects on into the drop. If the drop is also distorted, the transition loses contrast. The reset is the trick. Mistake 5. Random automation. Make it tell a story. Ramp into chaos, then snap back. Let's finish with a 15-minute practice exercise you can do right now. Pick a 16-bar phrase with a drop at bar 17. Build return C. Bit crush FX with the chain we made. Send drum tops and a vocal chop to it. Automate across bars 13 to 16. Send goes from off up to around minus 6 dB. Crush goes from light to heavy. Low pass tension closes steadily, and on the last beat, width goes from full stereo down to around 20%. On bar 17, instantly cut the send to off. Then bounce a quick preview and ask yourself three questions. Is the pre-drop tense without beating painfully bright? Is the drop noticeably clearer and wider because the return is gone? And does the low end stay solid the entire time? If you nail those three, you've got mix safe, club safe, high impact bit reduction transitions that sound like a choice, not an accident.